Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
First Peter chapter 1, verse 15, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear. God wouldn't say be holy if you couldn't be. He didn't say be an old sinner. How many people know being holy and being a sinner are two totally opposite things? Completely opposite of each other. Being a sinner and being holy are two totally opposite things. And yet, so much of the church world has this attitude of, well, I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. I'm just an old sinner. In other words, I'm just unholy. Because to be a sinner is not being holy. It's being unholy. So to say I'm an old sinner, saved by grace, is to say I'm unholy. But yet the Word of God tells us, be holy. How holy? Even as he is holy. You're to be as holy as God is holy. Is God unjust? Would he ask something of us that we could not do? If it was impossible to be as holy as God, then he would never have said, be holy as I'm holy. Be as holy as I am. He would never have said that. So we can be holy. And again, we can be holy because we have been saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By believing on Jesus, God has given us a new heart, and he has given us his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is now one spirit with our spirit. So now we can be holy even as he's holy simply by cooperating with our hearts, by following our hearts where the Spirit of God dwells. He is one with our spirit. So we can live a holy life. What does it mean to be holy? When you look up this word holy in the Greek language, it means sacred, physically sacred, pure, morally blameless, consecrated, clean, saintly. You see in the Word of God where the church is referred to as saints, believers. Those that have been born again, born of God, are referred to as saints. You and I are saints. And to be a saint is to be holy. Holy. And to be holy is to be sacred, pure, morally blameless. How people know being immoral is not being holy. That's being unholy. That's being the very opposite of what the Word of God tells you to be. That's being the very opposite of who God is. Being unholy is being completely the opposite of God. It's being completely contrary to him. And being holy is being morally blameless, consecrated, consecrated. When you look at the word consecrated and sacred, that's talking about being sanctified, set apart, set apart. And the word pure means being untainted, unpolluted. So we're to be set apart, untainted and unpolluted from the dirty things that are all around us. We live in a very immoral, dirty, ungodly, unholy environment, the world we live in. Very unholy, immoral, perverse, wicked generation. That's what surrounds us all the time. Yet you and I can be clean even as he is clean. You and I can be pure, unpolluted, unpolluted, untainted, even as he is unpolluted and untainted. We can be as clean as God because we have God living on the inside of us. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 16, the Bible says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." What a privilege you and I have today as New Testament, New Covenant, born again children of God. God is among us. He walks among us. He lives in us, and we have become his temple. We house the Holy Spirit of the living God. Verse 17, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean." Remember, to be holy is to be clean. He says, don't touch what is unclean. Don't even touch what is unclean. Because if you touch dirty things, you're going to get dirty, unholy, unholy. You're going to get polluted. You're going to be tainted. He says, "Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." Now, this is New Testament, isn't it? This is talking to the church, isn't it? And yet the church walks around and talks about receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. How about God receiving you as his own son and daughter? How about God receiving you? There's conditions to God receiving you. I mean, if I stop reading the New Testament, just let me know. If I get off track and I'm not reading the Bible anymore, just let me know. But my Bible says, verse 17, come out from among them. Come out from among the immoral, the perverse, the dirty. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. That leaves the connotation that he doesn't receive everybody. He doesn't receive everybody's prayers. He doesn't receive everybody's presence into his presence. He says, I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, we have to understand that coming to God is coming away from what is ungodly, unholy, or unclean. We're talking about unclean, we're talking about things that are spiritually dirty. So, coming to God, how many people have come to God? When you come to God, you're coming away from that which is ungodly. You're coming away from that which is contrary to it, to really be coming to God. Because we can't just come to God in word only. We can't just come to an altar without our lives being altered. We got to come away from some things in order to come to him. You can't come to him bringing all your stuff with you. We've heard it said, come as you are. It's not in the Bible. Come as you are. No, come as you wish to be. A son, a daughter of the Most High God, a holy child of God. But if you have the attitude, I can come as I am, then you think you can stay as you are. But that's not the Bible. The Bible is, come to God and be holy, set apart from what you were once a part of. Come away from those things, come to Him. You have to have them both. And you know, really what I just said is just basic common sense. And yet it's a real heavy duty word for this generation of Christians. Oh man, you mean we got to come away? You got to come away from stuff to come to God? Yeah. Yeah. You come to Him and you let go of your sin. You repent and turn away from things that are contrary to Him. You're coming to Him because you don't want to be a part of this anymore. You don't want to be a part of the devil's kingdom. You don't want to be a part of the devil's way of doing things. You don't want to be a part of a world system that is contrary to God. You want to be a part of the kingdom of God. You want to be a part of God's system. You want to walk in His righteousness. You want to live according to His way of thinking and His way of doing things. Amen. You're turning away from that and coming to Him. Hallelujah. Well, it doesn't just happen once. You keep coming. And you keep coming. And you keep coming. This is written to Christians. Come. Turn away from those things. Come after me. Come out from among the mess. Come out from among the perversion. Come out from among the darkness. Come out from among the dirty, unclean things. And come to me. And go from faith to faith, glory to glory, and become more and more holy and more clean as He continues to purify and wash your soul of all the filth and dirty thinking that the world has sown into your life. Oh, man, get purer and purer and purer and purer and purer. You know, I wish I could illustrate it here. If I had a faucet, but I don't. But if you know, if you take a glass of, let's say, milk, and it's full of milk, and we'll just call milk sin, and you put that glass under a faucet, and then you just turn the faucet on. You don't have to dump out the milk. We're not talking about getting rid of everything and then coming to God. We're talking about coming to Him, turning away from everything else that is contrary to Him, getting under the spout where God's holiness comes out. See what I'm saying? Get under His spout and allow Him to fill you with His holy, holy, holy Spirit. And what's going to happen to that glass of milk? You keep running water into it, just a stream, a steady stream of water into it, and it's going to overflow, and that milk's coming. And next thing, it goes from being a dark white to just like cloudy. But don't stop there. Too many Christians stop there, and we got too many cloudy Christians who are clowning around in the kingdom of God. And it's not pleasing to God. Cloudy's not going to stay under the spout. Some people, they get a little cleaned up, and then they come back out. And they start drinking the milk of the world again. They keep drawing off the supply that the world keeps wanting to give them, and they go back to being what they were before. Still maintaining the confession that I'm a child of God, that I'm born again, that I'm destined for heaven. But they pulled away from the God of heaven, and they're filling themselves out. They're sitting under the spout where the slime and polluted waters of this world are coming out. And God's saying, no, you keep coming, and you come to Him, and you come to Him, and you allow Him to continuously fill you until that water becomes crystal clear, and next thing you know, what's coming out of the spout and what's in the glass look exactly alike. You got crystal clear coming out of the spout and in the glass. And that's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be. That's supposed to be Christianity. Continue to come to me, and He'll continue to receive you, and He'll continue to receive you. But the moment you reject Him for the world, you're rejected. The one you turn away from him, then you're away from him. And we have to understand that. Now, he'll call us back. I said he'll call us back, but God's not going to compromise who he is to have fellowship with you. He's not going to compromise who he is. He loves you, and he wants to have you, and he's very merciful. All we got to do is turn to him. But he's not going to compromise who he is to be able to be where you are. You're going to have to come to where he is. We need to come to him. We need to draw near to him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. It says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Keeps himself. Have you been born of God? Are you busy keeping yourself? That got weak. The born of God part was big. The keeping yourself. He who is born of God keeps himself. What's he keeping himself? He's keeping himself from sin. He's keeping himself from dirty things. He's keeping himself from immoral things. He's keeping himself from touching things that would defile him and cause him not to be holy, even as God is holy. He who has been born of God keeps himself, and I love this, and the wicked one does not touch him. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he tells us in verse 17, he says, come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, be holy. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. And then you put that together with 1 John 5:18, and he says, the wicked one does not touch him. Does not touch him who does not touch what is unclean. So if you separate yourself and you don't touch what is unclean, the wicked one won't be able to touch you. The unclean demon won't be able to touch you. That's a benefit. I don't want the devil touching me. I don't want the devil to touch me. I don't want his hands on me. Well, how do I keep the devil's hands off me? Keep your hands off the devil. Keep your hands off the devilish things. Keep your hands off the demonic things. And the devil can't touch you. Hallelujah. But you can't go right into the pig pen of Satan's sinful kingdom and just indulge in the worldly practices of the wicked and turn around and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, get out. Devil, you over here, come over here. All right, we're going to dance with this devil over here, dancing with the devil with the blue dress on, the blue dress on, dance with the devil with the blue dress on. So we're dancing with the devil, and the devil comes with some infirmity. He comes with some kind of oppression. He comes and tries to mess with your family, your finances. Devil, get your hands off my money. It don't work. You can't party with the devil and cast him out at the same time. You're either his enemy or you're his friend. You're either his roommate or you're his enemy. It's one or the other. But it can't be both. I said it can't be both. I like walking in the dominion that's been given to us in the name of Jesus. I'm so glad we could tell the devil, get out in Jesus' name. Get out. How do you keep the devil out? Keep yourself under the spout where the glory's coming out. If you stay under the spout where the glory's coming out, oh, man, and you get out in Jesus' name. Okay, okay, devil, heal you, back off. Because you stay under the spout. But you get out from under the spout of God, and you're over here associating with the devil. Well, how can you tell him to get out of what you're in? I mean, you're in his territory. You're in his things. So how can you kick him out of his own house? You can't kick the devil out of his own. Didn't Jesus tell you that a house divided against itself can't stand? You can't cast the devil out of the devil's house when you're in the devil's house. You can't divide his kingdom. He's not going to let you divide his kingdom. No, you got to come out from among them. You come out from among the demons, and then you can cast the demons out. Somebody say holy. We're talking about living holy. This is Christianity 101. Basic things here tonight. But notice he says, don't touch what is unclean. We're not to touch it. We're not to even mention or talk about things that the wicked do in private or on HBO. Shameful things. We're not to be talking about those things. Not touching it. Not definitely not in it. We're not even be talking about it. I mean, we just don't go there. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. How many people want to walk out of here cleaner tonight? This word from heaven will turn the faucet up a little bit higher. I want the faucet on harder. I want that water coming out stronger. I don't want to be polluted. I don't want to be diluted. Because if you're diluted, you're going to be deceived. A lot of people are disillusioned and deceived because their spirituality has been diluted. It's polluted. It's tainted. Man, we want that clear stream of God flowing in us and out, overflowing out of us. We want that clear, crystal clear stream of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we were created to live in. Live in this holy, set apart place. I mean, if anybody can walk around and say, you can't touch this. It's not the arrogant, defiled person of the world, but it's that holy child of God who has set himself apart unto God to be apart from the mess so that he can be blessed. Do you want to be messed or blessed? Huh? I don't want to be a mess, and I don't want to be messed with. I want to be blessed by God. Messed with. You're either being messed with by the devil or blessed by God. And I like being blessed a whole lot better. I've been both, and thank God, I like being blessed a whole lot better. Can you say amen? Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. What? Not even named. Why are you talking about it? Not even named among you, let alone actually involved in it. As is fitting for saints. Man, I like that. How many saints do we have in here tonight? How many ain'ts do we have in here tonight? I'm a saint, praise God. Verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting. That's making dirty, suggestive jokes, which are not fitting. That is not fitting for a saint to be around dirty talk. It's not fitting for a saint to be around dirty talk, to be a partaker of dirty talk. But rather giving thanks. That's what comes out of our mouth. Thanksgiving to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person. Again, fornicator, that's talking about an immoral person. Person that commits immorality. No fornicator. Unclean person. Because remember, being holy is clean, right? But an unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. That's what a fornicator is. That's what an unclean person is. That's what a covetous man is an idolater. He says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. He's got no part in the kingdom of God. This is New Testament, written to the church, written to believers. We've got a world that, a church world today that seems to forget about these scriptures, that seems to forget about God's holiness. And God is just this buddy of everybody. And it's just not so. God is holy, and we're to walk in the fear of his holiness. We're to fear his holiness. He is clean, man. And it's a scary thing to get dirty. Why? Because that separates me from him. I said it separates me from him. See, I'm not talking about God's hand coming down upon a person for doing the wrong thing. I'm talking about getting out from under the blessing of God's hand and being left over here with an enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't want to be over there. I want to be in the blessing. I mean, if I miss it, if I feel like I said something wrong, I did something wrong, I didn't act right, I didn't live holy, I wasn't watchful, I wasn't keeping myself like I should have, man, I run. Oh, Jesus, I run under the spout. I get under there and get washed. And he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we learn to stay there. Stay under that cleansing flow of the life of God, of the mercy of God. So we're not talking about being unholy, God getting mad and him slapping you. I'm afraid of God slapping me. Man, I wish he would. Because when he slaps you, you get blessed. Hallelujah. Because all that's in his hand is blessings. There's no evil in God's hands. No, you want God's hand all over you. What you don't want is the devil touching you. Well, therefore we live holy, set apart, we come out from among them for the fear of being separated from God and being given over to our adversaries. Because God has no fellowship with darkness. God has no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And he tells us that we ought not either. Come out from among that. Get under his hand. Hallelujah. And what does his hand do? It lifts you up. It lifts you up. It exalts you. It honors you. It blesses you. It protects you. It gives you courage. It gives you authority. It gives you strength. I'm talking about the hand of God. It'll lift you up. It'll refresh you. It will bless you. Man, we want to be under his hand. It's a scary thing to be out from under the hand of God. I mean, you know, you're amazed today as you learn these things. You look out and you see a whole world out there living out from under the hand of God. I mean, just completely set apart from God. And you think, man, that's a scary place to be. I wouldn't want to go back to that in a million years. You say, well, how are they getting away with it? Well, to whom much is given, much is required. So God is protecting them because of their ignorance. But it can only be for a season. And some people, their seasons are shorter than others. Right? And like fish caught in a cruel net and pulled up, they don't know when their time comes. That's a terrible place to live. You got no hope, no promise of anything. You're separated from God's covenant, alienated from the truth. Man, that's a scary place to be. I see people in there, I go, I wouldn't want to be back in that mess in a million years. Thank God his mercy is covering those people because of their ignorance. But once you get born again and you get saved and God starts seeing, he expects you now to walk in the truth. And who wouldn't want to? Who wouldn't want to? I say he expects to. So in other words, now he's looking for you to follow him. He's looking for you to draw near to him. He's looking for you. You know better than that. Turn away from that. What are you doing? Get out of there. Get out of there. And if you don't, you're away from his grace. You're away from his mercy. So it is a scary thing. It's a scary thing to get away from God. We've got to stay under his hand. Stay in his presence. Stay in his blessing. Can you say amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So notice what he goes on to say in verse 12 of Ephesians 5. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. it's shameful for even. I mean, are you going to sit there and listen to immoral talk? How many people think that'd be a shameful thing for a saint? That would not be fitting. It would not be fitting for a saint to sit there and listen to immoral talk. I'm just wondering. I just don't know if you're with me or not tonight. Just want to make sure. Did you hear what I said? How many people think it'd be unfitting for a saint, a holy child of God, to sit and listen to immoral communication, dirty talk? Still don't have quite 100% yet. I think I need to ask just one more time. And the altar is open tonight. People will repent tonight. Thank God we can. That's a blessing. That's not a bad thing. Help me, Jesus. Help me to see what I need to see, because we live in a very deceptive religious world. That's all talk, no walk. No godly walk, no holy walk, but it's all talk. So we don't want to be a part of that mess, be deceived, and then find out on Judgment Day that we were wrong the whole time. There was a pastor who actually was killed in a car wreck, and he was bitter towards his wife before he had gotten in the wreck. He would not forgive her. She came to him. She apologized. He wouldn't forgive her. He was just so hateful and so bitter towards her. He would not forgive her. Got into a car wreck and was killed. And an angel appeared to him. He saw an angel when he came out of his body. And the angel took him down into hell and showed him hell. And he saw other pastors that were in hell. And they were sharing the various different reasons why they were in hell. One of them cried out to him and said, "Help, help." He said, I'm a pastor. He said, "I stole money from the church. Help." And he saw different pastors and different people in there that were being tormented in hell. And the angel looked at him and said to him, the man's name was Daniel. And he said, "Daniel, if the book of your life was closed today, this would be your portion." He said, no, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm a pastor. The angel looked at him and said, "Daniel, it's a matter of reaping what you've sown. You remember when your wife asked you to forgive her and you wouldn't forgive her? And she asked several times and you just refused to forgive her?" He said, "You can't sow unforgiveness and reap forgiveness." And he started weeping and crying, and then he realized his heart condemned him, and he recognized that he was damned for eternity. He had no idea that he was damned for eternity. Fortunately for him, his wife back at home was crying out to God and said, "Lord, what do I do? What do I do?" And she opened her Bible, and it opened up to Hebrews chapter 11. And she looked down at the place where it read, "And women, by faith, received their dead back to life again." Faith came into her heart, and she knew, this is over in South Africa, and she said, "I'm going to take them to a Reinhard Bonnke evangelistic crusade." And they got this body of this dead pastor out of the morgue, and they brought him down to the crusade, and there's video footage of it. They raised this man from the dead. But if they didn't, everybody would have come to the funeral and said, "Well, thank God he's with the Lord now. The Lord that he preached about, the Lord that he loved, he's with the Lord now." Not so. Not so. Somebody says, "You can't lose your salvation." Where's that in the Bible? It's popular teaching, but it's not in the Bible. And in fact, you really don't lose your salvation, but you can leave it by not coming out from among that which is unclean and that which is dirty. You got to come out from among those things and be separate, saith the Lord. If not, if you turn back, you're like a dog that returns to his vomit. You have left your first love. You have left the Lord for other things. You didn't lose your salvation. You left it for something else because you wanted to be unholy and ungodly, and you're going to get what you want. God's good. He gives us what we want. So we have to watch about all these doctrines of demons that are out there. God is holy. He's holy. He's holy in the Old Testament. He's holy in the New Testament. Some people think God got saved when we came over to the New Testament. God was an angry God under the Old Testament, but then he got saved, you know, under the New Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still just as holy as he was on Mount Sinai with Moses. That has not changed. He's changing us through the new birth. He's desiring to transform our lives as we continue to behold him, looking into his word, looking for him, seeking him diligently while he may be found. And as we're getting greater clarity of who he is, man, we're getting clearer and cleaner in our lives. Our lives are becoming cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, more and more holy. Amen. Somebody just looked at their watch. They said, is this almost over yet? Help me out of here, Jesus. That wouldn't be you, would it? I want to get in, don't you? I don't want to be locked out. You know what's outside. Don't you know what's outside? I don't want to be out there. Over here in Revelation, he tells us exactly who's outside. He says in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Blessed are those who do his commandments, New Testament, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I don't want to be outside with the dogs. Right? I don't want to be out there with the sorcerers, the liars, the deceivers. Those that live it and celebrate it, is that living holy? No, man, I want to be holy. I want to be set apart from that. I want to be inside, oh, by the fire. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I want to be inside by the fire on those cold, cold, ice cold, wintry days. Out in the world, it's a cold world out there, icy cold. The conditions are very bad. And it's very slippery out. You got to watch your step. Because it's slippery out there. So you got to watch your step. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the fire of the Holy Ghost as you cautiously walk through this life. You got to watch how you walk. We just don't go through life flippant and just careless, reckless, not worried about these things. I didn't say worry, but you should definitely be concerned. It should always be a concern of ours. We should always be making sure that we're pleasing to God and that we're living according to his purpose and his plan and not just outdoing our own thing. No, we want to stay in the place where he's instructing us. He's teaching us. He's showing us what to do, what not to do. He's the one leading us, governing our lives. That's what it means to make him Lord, right? That's what it means to make him Lord. And thank God he only leads us into good things. He only leads us into triumph. He leads us into victory. Victory! I like victory. I like winning. I don't like hanging around with the losers. I don't like hanging around with dogs, traitors, deceivers, liars. I don't want to be around that. Do you? I'm not going to sit and watch that. Look at them, listen to them, be entertained by them. No, man, I ain't listening to that communication. I'm not only part of that talk. If it's dirty, what does it have to do with you? What does it have to do with me? If it's dirty, if it's unclean, if it's sinful, if it's immoral, if it's perverse, if it's full of coarse jesting, what has that got to do with me? What's that got to do with you? Nothing. Right? What fellowship? What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? With holiness with unholiness? What fellowship? Come on, God wants to get us over into the greater blessing. We don't get over into it if we don't go into it. People just want it to fall on them. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Okay, come over here. No, over here, Jesus. Bless me, God. Help me with this. Help me with that. Okay, I will. Come here. Yes, Lord. Right here, Jesus. Right now, God. I need it. Right here. Right now. And God said, come on over. Come on over. I got my hand extended to you. Take my hand. I'll help you into the promised land. Come on over here, and I'm going to bless you. Turn away. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And I'll receive you, and I'll bless you, and I'll kill the fatted calf for you, and I'll put a nice robe of righteousness on you, and I'll put a signet ring with some authority on your hand. Come on over. You'll never lack if I'm your shepherd. You don't have to worry about anything. I got you covered. Come on over. Come on over. Lord! You know I go to church. You know I heard your word tonight. You know, God, how righteous I am. You know, Jesus, I do this and I do that. Yeah, but you're doing it over there. You got to come out from that place into my space. Come over here into my space. And that's where the blessing is. That's where the abundance is. Let's get over there. Let's get all we can get while the getting's good. Praise God. There's still room in the inn. So let's get in. There's still room in Father's house. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. We have to be aware of what we are associating with and what we approve of in life. Got to watch that. Notice what it says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder mysteries, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, got their minds on evil things. They're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. That's what God says. Those who practice those kind, they're worthy of what? Death. Not only do they do the same, but they also approve of those who practice them. They approve of those who practice them. They give their stamp of approval to those who practice these kind of things. They show that they approve of these things that are filled with sexual immorality, covetousness, murder, envy, all these terrible things. Notice, by associating with it and approving of it, a person is guilty of it in God's eyes. So we have to understand that. Well, I never murdered anybody. Yeah, but what is it, CIS? CSI. Yeah, I sure like CSI. Mm-hmm. Is there any murder in that? Killing? Some suggestive sexual content? You know, it's just a show. That's just it's just a TV series. Yeah, but you approve of it. You approve of this wicked conduct, which the Bible says you're guilty of. Because if that was not something that was in your heart, you'd stay away from it. You'd stay away from it. I remember the last movie I rented. This is 20 some odd years ago. Full of coarse jesting. Unclean speech. I had to turn the thing off. I couldn't take it. I said, I couldn't take it. It was too much for me. Now, you're talking to a guy who at one time was unsaved, lived in the world, and was a partaker of every kind of thing that the world dished out. But now, I can't take it. I can't sit in front of that. I'm certainly not going to laugh and be entertained by it. It grieved me so bad. So bad, it grieved me. Why? Because I'm holy. And I'm seeking to be holy. And this is the furthest thing from what I want to be. I said, I'm seeking diligently to be holy. And this is the complete opposite of what I'm seeking to be and what I'm pursuing. So I can't watch this. This is disgusting. And I turned away from it. I came out from among them. Had I said, oh, it's not that bad. It's all right. Get over it. You're being religious. You're being legalistic. You're under the law. Stop it. It's perfectly fine for you to sit and listen to coarse jesting and foolish talk and see perverted things happening in front of you. It's okay. Of course, the Bible says it's not. God says it's not. But you say it's okay. So you make it okay for you. And you suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And your heart becomes harder and harder and harder. Until next thing you know, you're given over to all kinds of activities and things that you never even thought you would ever do. But now you're in the middle of it. Because you've got to corrupt your mind. You allowed yourself to become corrupted. And of course, that's a good way to shorten your life. I want to live long on the earth. I said, I want to live long on the earth. How do you do that? Stay over here. Stay away from that stuff. Stay away from things that'll kill you. Anything that's of the devil could kill you. It's poison. Why would you want to eat rat poison? Come on, somebody. Why would you want to eat rat poison? I don't want to eat rat poison. Oh, and I might let you know, too, I'm actually having a really fun time at living. I haven't lost a thing. I've gained more peace and more joy and more fulfillment in my life as I've turned away from these things. So don't let the devil lie to you and think that we're talking about bondage. No, we're talking about coming out from bondage. Jesus is not bondage. Following God's plan for your life is not bondage. The more you can follow him, the more fun of a time you're going to have at life. If life's not all that fun, get more of him. Get more of these kind of messages that help you to say, Lord, turn on the faucet more fuller. Turn it on heavier. Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Fulfillment. Why subject yourself to something that makes your conscience feel defiled and make you feel dirty afterwards? And then accept that as the way to live. Some folks, they just accept it and they think that's just the way it is in life. And, you know, that's why we've come up with doctrines. I'm just an old sinner and this is just the way it is. And, you know, it don't get any better than this until we get to heaven, you know. What makes heaven better than here? It's holy up there. That's what makes heaven so exciting. It's holy, set apart from every kind of dirty, defiling thing that's down here. And he's telling us to be holy even down here while on the earth by yielding to his Holy Spirit. Man, we can have days of heaven right here on the earth, right here, right now. I want days of heaven. I want the holy fire of God on my life. I want a clear, sound mind. I want to walk in that love of God. I want to walk in that confidence of faith, walk in that confidence of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to have a defiled, unclean conscience that I got to make excuses every day to make myself feel better about myself while I'm not walking in what God has created me to be. I'm going to walk in the fullness of the blessing. I'm determined. I'm going to walk in the fullness of the blessing. I said, I'm determined. How about you? Yes. Get determined. Get determined to walk in the fullness of the blessing. Watch what you're associating with and what you're approving of. Watch about clicking the like button. What are you liking? What are you liking? We got Christians liking, putting their stamp of approval on perverted things, dirty things. Picture of somebody doing something dirty and they go, like. Really? You like that? Okay. That's not good. Watch what you like. Watch what you put your approval on, what you agree with. What you accept as satisfactory. There's some things you need to look for the reject button. I wish they had a why don't they have a reject button? All they have is a like button. They only give you one option, like. No, there's some more I want to say here. How about reject? Thumbs down. Or they do give you a thumbs down on some things, don't they? Reject. What happens if Christians did that? Oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put thumbs down. Why? Because then they won't like me. And if they don't like me, I can't win them to the Lord. See, many are deceived in thinking that by approving of wicked things, they are winning the wicked. They're winning the wicked over to their Christian faith. No, you're not. You're showing that you're compliant with it, that it's okay. You're endorsing it. You're supporting them in wrongdoing, which is further condemning them. You need to be a light and reject those things so they can see that there is another way and that God is completely different than what they think and what they've heard others say. You need to show them that. You need to show them that. You need to stand up and be the witness you're supposed to be. We're not to be encouraging people. Encourage them in wrongdoing, standing in their way. We need to show our disapproval. That might be the very thing that they need to get saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, come on, let's stand on our feet tonight. Let's thank God that we can be holy even as he is holy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Woo, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know, Pastor, that was a strong word. That was a little too much for me. That was Christianity 101. That's what that was. Don't be unwilling. Don't be unwilling. This message condemns people that will not repent, that will not turn from their way of doing things. It's meant to convict. I enjoyed getting, God woke me up to this morning. I was lying down face down on my pillow. I was face down my pillow. And I thought, yeah, I'll minister that to the youth or something like that. Yeah. It just kept coming. All right, I'll get up. I went and got up, went downstairs, and just kept coming. I was like, sure, Lord, you sure you want me to minister this tonight? Yep. Thank you, Jesus. I thought, well, you know, probably some people in there do need it. Maybe a couple of them, yeah. But anyway, as I was getting into it, yeah, man, I was enjoying it. Oh, it was strengthening me. It was really sharpening me. I was like, am I getting dull in some areas? Man, it was sharper than me. Am I allowing some stuff in I shouldn't be allowed in? It started making me take notice and just sharpen up. I like that. Yes. Help me, Lord, to be sharper. Right? I want to be as sharp as I could be. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, drifting. Right. Yes. How many know we live in a world where you can drift? Yes. And that's one of the reasons why we need to be a part of a church like this, is to help keep us from drifting because the polluted waters, the cesspool is flowing so strong. It's easy to get pulled in and not even know it. Next thing you know, you're listening to the devil and you're justifying things and, well, it's all right. Your heart's not good. You're totally away from him. I go to church on Wednesday night. That's nice. Now heed what he's saying. Heed what he's saying. And recognize in your life right now, have I been allowing myself to live in an unholy way? Have I been pursuing holiness in the fear of the Lord? Have I been pursuing a life of holiness? Do I really want to be holy? Even as he's holy, because those are the ones he says that he will receive as his sons and his daughters. I want to make sure God receives me as his son, and he continues to receive me. How can we make sure of that? We continue to pursue holiness, pursue holiness, pursue being holy even as he's holy. And when you have a heart for holiness, you're going to hate covetousness, all uncleanness, all ungodliness, and every unholy thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Somebody say, I'm turning to the Lord.
I'm turning to the Lord.
With all my heart.
With all my heart.
With all my soul.
With all my soul.
With all my mind.
With all my mind.
With all my strength.
With all my strength.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's say this together. How many people need to repent of some things? Let me just see a show of hands. You know, as a testimony before God, the angels, you know, our fellow brethren, we're not ashamed. If you recognize I haven't been living as holy as I should, and I need to repent. And if you feel like everything's great and you've been pursuing holiness, that's good too. That's fine. That's fine. But if you recognize, man, I needed this word tonight. I needed this adjustment in my life, and I'm heeding this word. We're not just going to sing He is holy and not be holy ourselves, right? All right. So now let's say this together. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for me, your great mercy. Thank you for teaching me from the Scriptures about holiness. I want to be holy, even as you're holy. I repent. I turn from. I come out from that which is unholy, that which is unclean, that which you disapprove of. I now disapprove of it. I repent of it. Help me, Holy Spirit, to follow you, to yield to you, to be holy in all my conduct, in everything I do, and in everything I accept into my life. Thank you, God. Now that you have forgiven me, you have cleansed me, you've washed me. Thank you, Lord, for flushing the pollution out of me now, clearing my thoughts, clearing my soul, clearing my mind, clearing my body. Devil, you have no part in me. I have no part in you, and you got no part in me. I command you in the name of Jesus, take your hands off everything that's a part of my life, because everything that's a part of my life has nothing to do with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory and honor to you forever and ever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Make sure you come back for part two. That was only page one of what the Lord woke me up to this morning. So it's a series. We're gonna get this, and we're gonna grow in this, and we're gonna be strong believers, man. We're gonna walk in tremendous liberty, tremendous freedom. We're gonna walk in God's best for our life. Can you say amen? And aren't you glad he's merciful?
Yes.
All you gotta do is make that adjustment, mean it with your heart, and you're clean, you're set apart, right? Devil can't touch you, he can't mess with you. Thank you, Jesus. It's that easy. It's that easy. Now, and as you go forward, you mean business. And if you slip on the ice, you slip on the slime, jump up and repent. Just repent as fast as you can, praise God, and you'll be forgiven as fast as you repent. Praise God, and then just keep going. Just keep moving forward with God. Keep moving forward with him. And you have nothing to fear as far as the devil goes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But allow the Lord to convict you, because people have dulled themselves. They've opened themselves up to things that are wrong, and they've allowed it to become a regular part of their life, and it's dulled them to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, you know, ask the Lord, say, Lord, revive that in me. Revive that conviction in me, that sensitivity. You know, just, I want to be grieved. If God's grieved, I want to be grieved. I want to be grieved by what grieves God, right? So ask him to grieve you. Ask him that you be grieved what grieves him, all right? Glory be to God. God bless you. The Lord's with you.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.